You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, becoming a homeowner is a major milestone in anyone's life. It means having the freedom to turn a house into a real home just the way you like it. It also represents an important step in creating a secure financial future. It's one of the biggest financial investments that you'll ever make, which means it can also be an overwhelming experience. Property investor and author Percy Singer joins us to share some tips for buying a new property, and is already on the line. Mhlekazi, good evening.
Good evening to the presenter and the listeners.
How are you today?
I am good. I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, I always say that people who say they are good, it means they've got money. So I suppose yeah. You also have money. So I'm glad to hear that. I like the sound of that. So yeah. How was your day?
No, it was beautiful. It was great. I enjoyed it.
Ah, fantastic. You didn't have those Microsoft problems that people have.
No, not today, not today. I was more on inside because in my career, you can work either in the office or you go to site. So today I was inside, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, that's really fantastic. All right. No, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us once again, Percy. We really appreciate your time and your insights. I just want to start here. For people who may have missed the previous episode, can you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Okay, my name is Percy Singo. I'm originally from Venda. Then I grew up in a family where it's a single mother family. My father had passed. And then, but mainly because of that, I think she ended up working in a church. So I grew up mainly going to church a lot because she was working in a church and I was the young. So she was taking me with to most of the church conferences and so on. So I was mainly exposed to church. And then I grew up there, and then I went and studied at VUT where I did civil engineering. I did a diploma in BTEC. And when I had a BTEC, I motivated to vets to say, with my experience, can they take me straight to master's without doing honors? Then I went straight and did master's in civil engineering, and then I graduated at VETS.
Oh, wow. And they took you straight there. You are blessed, Rena. I always say, Rena, you are blessed.
Yes, I had to motivate to say with the number of experience and the projects I've done. And And then after that, I work for one of the municipality around here in Johannesburg. And then I am also in property investment, where I invest in property, rental property mainly. And then again, I'm also into hosting seminars where we are teaching people about how to manage their finances. And then on the side, I ended up writing a book, which is called How to Make Your Salary Work for You.
When do I get a copy there, please? We must talk about that after the show, you and I. We definitely must talk about that. Last time, I even made a note last time and I forgot to ask, where's my copy? So we must talk about that. Property investing. Now, as we mentioned when we started the show, I mean, it's such a big decision for any person to make, and it can be quite a daunting one. Before we even get into the semantics of this buying a property thing, your experience when you first bought your property, how was it like for you?
I was so excited because I looked forward to owning a house. I was mainly in a contract jobs for the first few years of my career, so the moment I got a permanent job,
that's the first thing you jump to.
Straight to buying a house.
Oh, nice!
I was so excited to say, finally, I have a house.
Sure, that's lovely. And what was the the thing that made you settle on the house that you settled. You know how ladies speak about, for instance, they need to feel the house, you know, when they walk in. Some yes. would tell you about aesthetics, how high the ceiling yes. is from the floor. You know, it makes it look big because it's got high ceilings. Yes. I don't know if you had yes. that thing. Maybe I watch too much TV, Percy. So please forgive me.
Yes. For me, I had a very short term goal with yeah. that house. I knew that it's not the house that I'm going to stay in for a very long time. It's in my mind, I just wanted an average, like in that complex. There was a lower house, and then there was a medium one, and there was a higher one. Mm. So I just went to the medium one to say, I'm not going to stay here for a long time.
Yeah.
But I just want to have something which is my own. And then again, I was tired because I felt like I've been renting for a long time. And
yeah.
According to me, I feel like renting, it's volunteering to say, go and take a loan, and then I'm going to be the one to pay for it. So I wanted to pay for my own loan.
So
I was just excited about the house, but I wanted an average house because I knew that there's bigger things that I'm looking forward to.
That's true. I love that analogy, that it's like sending me to go and make a loan and then you pay for it, right? But it is, of course, as crude as that. What should a buyer look out for then when buying a new property? I mean, there's these new developments that are always mushrooming here and there, particularly in this urban and suburban areas as well. What should one look out for? I'm a new person and I'm into property as well. There's some shoddy ones out there that I've seen, at least. And, you know, I was saying earlier on, this is a marriage of 20 years at least with the bank, and you must make sure that, you know, whatever you're buying into in the marriage that you're signing, it's in community of property for that matter with the bank. So you must be sure. What should I look out for?
That one, I can answer it with two different ways.
Yeah.
The first one, it will be to say, if you are buying it for business, then it's completely different from when you are buying it to make it a home.
So
if you are buying it to make it a home, then security become the first thing, that you want to be in a secured place. And then again, you want all those things like your schools, your malls, things, those things which you can get access to easily, to be able to be close to those things. But again, if you are buying it for investment, then the you think about the stand size to say, I don't just want a house, I want a land that I can be able to develop in the future so that I can capitalize on the profit. And then you start thinking of things like demand, to say, is there a demand in this area which I won't just build rooms and then they are empty. And then you spend a lot of money and then you are not making any income. And then again, you will look at all the other things like your is the levies here, because you don't want to buy in a place where you end up spending a lot on those levies. And so you need to know before you buy, because I've talked to a lot of people who are saying they feel like property investment is not working because they are not making money. And then you realize that they didn't do the proper study to say what is going to happen the moment they have that property. They were too excited about getting into a house or getting into the business of owning, getting into a business of owning properties in such a way that they didn't do the proper study.
Talking about these levies, when a person, it's almost like they always catch us off guard in a way. Is it because we are I suppose a bit careless, or we are excited by that it's been approved by the bank?
Yes. I feel like for a first time home buyer, especially, you are more like not thinking properly. It's more like when you're going for your first property, it's advisable to go with somebody rather than to go alone, because you end up making all those wrong mistakes. And then again, there's a lot of properties in the market which the owners, they are just telling themselves, I want to get rid of this property.
Yeah.
And those property, they end up in the hands of the first-time home buyer.
Mm.
So it's very important to go into buying a property with somebody who has bought a property before, so that they can advise better and then you can make better decisions. Because we end up just committing to things and then without even knowing how much are you going to be paying for levies. And then later on you realize that I cannot afford this house.
I want to come back to that point as well that you just made, because I think there's quite a lot of other things that a property buyer should look out for, right? Because nowadays it's not just the house that you're buying, it's the house, it's the things around it, it's the aesthetics, like you said, it's a complex, it's got levies, it's got all these things, never ending things. You realize, well, that 10,000 or 20,000 that you're paying on the house itself is not the end of all the costs that are related to owning this property or buying that property, or if you're doing it for business, it's even worse. But I'll come back to that. Is it better than just to go ahead and buy what one can afford, even if it's not quite perhaps what I want?
Yes, I feel like for a first-time home buyer, the affordability counts a lot, because usually when you are buying your first house, you are not really in the place where you want to be financially.
Yeah.
You are more like you just started. But for me, I will still advise that person to say, go ahead and buy a house so that you have something that you are paying, which that thing at the end will be yours, than just be renting somewhere else.
Mm. Sure. How about savings when I pursue? How about if I keep saving and wait until maybe I can afford my dream house? What are the pros and cons of perhaps saving and waiting? Is there something good or bad? How do I
feel
balance?
Like, it's good when you are saying it to say I will save
But in actual fact, it's difficult.
In actual fact, to really save up until you reach 900,000, for example, it's very few people who have seen even just 100,000 in their account. So I feel like a debt, it's more like you are saving, but you are not saving the traditional way of saving.
Yeah.
You are saving the bond, which is going to be your money again.
Yeah.
So it's more like you are saving. And again, when you are looking at it from that side, you can say, for somebody like me who's from Venda, if I come to work in Joburg, I need a place to stay.
Yes.
Whether I'm saving or not, I must be staying somewhere.
Yes.
So if you are staying somewhere and then you are saving again, it's more like those are two different expenses, which you can rather have one of those expenses.
What about people who have family here, Wenapers? Is it not better to just stay with your family and save for the next 10, 15 years? And just save towards your dream house?
Yes.
I mean, I know it might not necessarily be practical for a 35-year-old, 36-year-old to still be staying at home, but it happens. And if it happens for saving for a house.
Yes. No, it's something that I actually advise to say it's good to do it, to stay at home longer. For example, if you are from Tembisa and then you just got a job in Midrand, you're still so close to home, you can still stay at home while you are saving. But the problem is that will you be able to save, let's say, for example, you are going to pay 4,000 on a rent.
Yeah.
Will you be still able to save 4,000 every month until the end of the year?
Hey, when that thing hits 50,000, I'm like, hey, I've got money now.
So I think somebody who's disciplined and then who's going to make it possible, it will be a very good way of doing it.
Mm.
But if you are struggling with saving and you are struggling with discipline, then it will rather better to just buy a house and then with that money you are still paying it on the bond.
Yeah. And I think there's something that you're saying, which you're not saying at the same time, is you're suggesting that we have a savings problem in the country. And I agree with you that we generally don't save. But even when we save, it's a very, very hard thing to do. I'm saving for a property. This is something that's going to add on to my assets, you know, and my so-called net worth or something like that. But even that piece is difficult to save for.
Yes. Now, it's a difficult one because if you are saving, if an emergency comes up, you are going to take all the savings and then you use it. But if you have a house and then an emergency comes, you are not going to sell your house because of the emergency.
Yeah.
You are still going to keep it. So it's and when we go to down to that, there's a lot of people, like a lot of people are struggling with saving.
Mm.
I feel like out of maybe 100 people that you talk to about saving, you find only 4 are really doing it correctly. And then you start to see that it's like we didn't learn about this topic early. And then a lot of people go and make a lot of mistakes in such a way that when you save, it's very difficult for them to do it.
No, you know, the saving thing must be looked into. Just as a side question there, Percy, and I watch, like I said, quite a lot of these TV shows on this other, paid, channel and whatever, which we want to say. But it seems like in other countries it works very differently, right? You get the mortgage, they give you the mortgage directly to you to then go and buy, as opposed to in South Africa, where it seems like the banks don't trust us. They'd rather go and pay into the development or the seller, and then you then pay the bank that way. Is that perhaps because of our inability to save and be, faithful and trustworthy? Or what is this? I've always wanted to ask this question.
I think different countries, they run things differently. Because in other countries, there are countries which they don't even give you a bond. Like you don't get a bond. If you want a house, you save for it and then you go and you buy it with your own money. And then if you want something like a loan, you get it from your employer. You don't get it from the bank.
Look at that.
Your employer is the one who gives you the loan for. So there are those kind of countries. I feel like it's just the issue of countries doing things differently. But I feel like other countries are doing much better than us in terms of other things. Yeah.
Is the purchasing of a house an emotional thing?
Oh, yes. It's a very emotional one. It's a very emotional one. And then that's why I feel like you need somebody to help you to make those good decisions while you are doing it, so that you don't end up making a lot of mistakes based on emotions.
Emotions are such a big thing. I mean, if you buy, these days, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but these days a decent house is like R1 million. And you use emotions to get into R1 million debt.
I feel like there's a lot of things which you can make a mistake in life, but property, I feel like it's one of those expensive mistakes which when you make, you end up paying for some time.
Yeah.
Especially if you are not so good in property, because now you can end up with a property. There's a lot of people that I talk to who they don't know what to do with their property. They feel like they have this property, they don't want it anymore. And then when they consider selling, they find you are not even, it didn't even gain in value in turn. So you are still on a shortfall in a way. It's like, it's the same as you were renting.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's bad. That's bad. Okay, let's go back to buying for, for investment to run a business. What are some of the tips that one should look out for when buying for business?
Yeah, there is a lot of things. And then again, it goes to the developing area. You want an area which is developing, because I know a place somewhere in Four Ways where that place is a very nice place. It was a suburb.
Yeah.
And then just be close to it, they were shacks started to develop. Yeah. And then the prices of those properties, they just went down.
Sure.
in a very bad way. So those kind of things, I feel like it's important to do some study to see what is going on around this place where I'm about to buy a property. And then there are a number of things like sauna. I mean, sauna, it gives us some indication of what's going to happen when, so that you know a bit when you are making a decision.
As in the state of the nation address.
Yes,
Really? We don't look at it like that. We look at it as
the
politicians that are just babbling and babbling about everything that means nothing.
No, it tells you a bit about the developing or the development of the areas to say, I know that Lanzeria, the smart city coming. So when making those property decisions, you know, when you buy a property that side, you might benefit.
Ooh, I hope it does because we've been promised a smart city for a very long time. No shots fired, but I'm just saying, Jeho, I hope this time around the smart city does actually come. And then lastly, wrapping it up for buying for home use.
Yes, and then when you are buying for home use, I feel like it's those things, like especially for a woman, you want to be in a safe place. And then again, you want to be in an area where the services are well maintained in terms of, because you can be very frustrated because of services in some area. You can buy a house, but that house is going to be a burden because you end up not even having electricity to cook. You have to be using money to buy takeaways. So it's very important to buy for, if you are buying for staying, to buy in a place where there will be ease for you to live going forward.
Yeah, that's the liquidity, right?
Yes.
Of the particular area. And lastly then, is it a case of the tail wagging the dog or the dog the other way around? Because
Yes.
we often don't look at our budget, but
Yes.
we look at whether am I approved or not, and only then do we look at our budget.
Yes. Yes, it's very important. For me, there was somebody who once asked me to say, your first property, why did you buy a property that you were paying 5,850? It's like people have the mentality of saying, if you are earning, let's say 20,000, then they expect you to buy to your limit to buy. And then I feel like we must give ourselves a room in such a way that if you qualify for 1 million, you can just go and take a 700,000 rent house. In terms of, even if there are changes in the interest rate, you still have that room to breathe. So I feel like we must not really commit to our maximum. We must leave that room.
Yeah, that thing of the interest rate there. And this guy is still gonna come for another 5 years. His term has been renewed, so he's not going anywhere. He's not going, he's still going to give us those increases because wow. Ever since this guy came, yeah, no, it's been lit, I can tell you that much. Last, the actual bond amount that you're paying to the bank is not the only cost. You said levies, rates, and taxes. One should think of those as well.
Yes, there is number of costs, which I feel like it's important to ask, because some of those things, you are able to get the information to see. For example, levies, they will tell you that estimate 1,500, so that you know all the costs, and then you can even ask the rates, how much am I looking at, so that when you make that decision to buy, you are not shocked with the extra 3,000 that was not planned for that you need to pay now.
Let me tell you my secret. I was looking at a house in Waterfall. It must be Waterfall Equestrian or something like that. I can't even pronounce the word of that particular, but it's there in Waterfall. 42 meters. 42 million. I was like, what are the rates here? And what are the. And then I realized my paycheck doesn't go past 1 million rand, you know? I had a reality check. I was like, Tapelo, you are dreaming? It's not going to happen. You can't even qualify for a 1 million rand house. So please just relax. But I looked at that house. I was like, oh my goodness, this house looks beautiful. right? And yes, we all dream about a house set on a mountain, and it was overlooking just the whole Midrand and also into Joburg and Sandton City when you look the other direction.
Yes.
I was like, imagine waking up in a 5-bedroom house alone, and just walking it up and down into the house. And you feel like, yes, now this is life and all that. And it just took me back to what we were saying, that these things are emotional. Yes. You know, I realized that I'm taking this thing very emotionally. And if I was to afford to buy this house, it would be an emotional purchase, because it's just something about the house. You look at it like, yeah, this is exactly right. But I suppose people like you are there to just say to us, nope, wait, we get your emotions and stuff, but is this thing for real? Because the rates in that house
else. It will be a lot. It will be a lot. I mean, some of the estates, if you check around Gauteng, you'll be paying around 6,000-7,000 on all those things, which is a lot of money. Yeah. So I feel like we must allow ourselves to, we must allow the process to go properly in such a way that if you are starting with a house of 500,000, you know, in the next 5 years, I will change to 700,000 and then I will change to, so that you don't overcommit and then you end up having this property that you were thinking it's an investment, but you are not able to service it.
Yeah, I actually want us to talk about this one. My producer is listening some other time. We've just run out of time. But just to say, at what stage is the sweet spot, right? Because I know the first 5 to 10 years, you're probably paying interest, depending on whether you're overpaying the bank, or, you know, you're just paying the bare minimum. So you're probably traversing a 10-year chain of just interest rate. What is that sweet spot? Is it at the 5th year, 10th year, where you can just now look at, you know, upgrading and say, I don't want this thing anymore? Because, some of the 200,000 houses we buy, I know, can't stay there forever and ever.
Yeah, I feel like 5 years is a good time. But for me, I haven't stayed in a house longer than 3 years. I think after 3 years, I kept on moving and going to another house. But I feel like 5 years is a reasonable time to give yourself to say, now I can make another decision.
Definitely. Yeah. I want us to just expand on that one in just a bit. But thank you so much, Percy. Really appreciate your time. And we'll talk about that book after this.
No, thank you so
Thank you so much, sir. Have a good one.
Please, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.